Welcome back. It's Food News and Chews Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Happy Saturday on Twitch. That is Chef Jeremy Ashby of Azure. That's Sylvia Lovely. Hello, gang.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing fine.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Had a great dinner with the Icon Dinner. Jeremy, you outdid
yourself.
Awesome. What'd you like best, Twitch?
Hey.
That's right. You were there.
I was at the. Oh, it was amazing.
Nice.
It's hard to beat the dessert at the end of the dinner.
Oh, man, the mud pie.
Yeah, it's hard to beat the mud pie, but I got to say, I think my favorite thing, I think it was the first course, the beer cheese soup.
That was so good.
With the rye crouton. It was delicious.
The Amato's dish was my favorite.
The pasta.
It was so good.
So we'll tell you a little bit about it. I mean, these are dishes that were from restaurants that have closed, except for Hall's. It's still open. And we're just kind of exploring, like, you know, things that shaped our Lexington food scene, all the dishes that people went to these restaurants for. And the one you're talking about was Cafe 1880. It was the beer cheese soup, right?
Yeah, it was delicious.
You know, I liked the recipe, too. It was very simple.
I expected a thick soup, but it was actually very thin. It was very good.
It's not
it wasn't overpowering.
Yeah,
because you imagine, like, I'm going to drink a cup of cheese is what you
That's
think,
That's what
right?
I thought, yeah. It would be very rich, but this was not rich.
Well, if you guys want a little insight out there, we just started with some butter and onion and garlic and sweat that in a pan and add a little bit of flour and then poured a bunch of beer. We used just Budweiser. We didn't want to spend a lot of money cooking bad, you know, like really nice beer, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of thickened into a beer velouté.
Beer gravy.
You made beer gravy and then finished it with milk and then cheese. And, of course, we added some peppers and spices because it's beer cheese. It should have a little zing to it, right?
It was delicious.
Right, so
and then that crouton. It was a rye crouton.
So when you're making like a beer cheese soup, there's no chicken stock in it or anything like that?
I didn't use any. We basically just used beer and milk and cheese.
So the basic was – so is that pretty accurate to how they would have made it back when it was – would they use like a Bud Light or a Light Lager or something like that? Because – there probably wasn't a whole...
It might change its flavor if you have different kinds of beers.
And there wasn't a whole lot of choice for beer, I imagine, when they were open.
Yeah, nothing like now.
Yeah.
You know, I think that here's the best way I know to utilize a nice beer when you're cooking with it is just cook with cheap beer, right? And then at the end, just do a little finish with the good beer to where that raw flavor is still there. You don't cook it out.
And then drink plenty of the good beer with the cheese soup, right?
And if it's not good, just drink more beer and it won't matter.
See, I really thought that you just took beer cheese and mixed it with like
Campbell's or something?
Yeah, like a chicken stock. That's what I thought it was. That sounds... I hate to say it, but that doesn't sound terribly complicated to make.
No, it's not. So easy.
You had a steak dish, too. That crab cake was really good with curry.
So that was an interesting play on what I feel like is a crab cake. And this was from Coach House. And everybody out there remembers the Coach House, hope. I'm sure people in their cars are going, yeah, I remember the Coach House. So we took wild rice, and then on top of the wild rice, we used a bunch of lump crab and kind of like a curry mayonnaise.
There was a lot of crab. It was a lot of crab. It was great.
It was very good.
It was very good.
Every time I name one of these dishes, I think, I like that one. No, I like that one.
It was big pieces of crab. That was delicious.
Well, the whole dinner, I was finished by about the mid.
Well, it's not very fair that, you know, you guys love this so much, and it's not even my food. I was cooking other people's recipes.
I'm sure you had your flair at it in.
You know.
Hey, we're going to do more of those, though, right? I mean, we've talked about that.
Why not? You know, we're getting more and more
access. I got notes, by the way. I got lots of notes from people. I asked them to fill out cards, and they wrote out
what kind of
restaurants.
Notes?
They just, how much they love the food, one thing. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
It was great.
And,
but
like, what dishes
did,
they want to see,
They talked about, there were these restaurants that you guys don't even remember, Daryl's. I mean, Daryl's was down kind of where that, it's been a number of things, TGI Fridays, all that kind of stuff. So all of that, and then...
I remember back in the day, there was Chi-Chi's across the street,
Chi-Chi's,
right? And there was basically a line out the door to Daryl's and a line out the door
Oriental Inn.
I think you just switched lines halfway.
Yeah, Oriental Inn was out on Patchen. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it's like a world of things. We could have a dinner every week and
really
get
good.
Through a year.
I'm thinking about different themes, too, because I like the Icons dinner of restaurants past. And
it was educational for me.
Yeah.
It's just a different, you know... genre of cooking, and there were different techniques.
But you could do this with anything. You could do a classics dinner where it's just things like coq au vin and sole meunière.
Right.
You could do a Jeremy takes on fast food.
Ooh, I like the way that sounds.
Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I like all these crazy.
Blow my ego, don't you?
These crazy themed dinners you could do.
Hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fancy hot dogs and all kinds of stuff like that.
You had me at hot dog.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Especially if it's made out of like sea bass and lobster, right?
Yeah, that's good too. But I'm thinking like a cheap hot dog.
We did do a bologna sandwich once. Remember when we
did our take
on bologna sandwich? Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing better than that every now and then.
Hey, you know, one of the things that Jeremy and I talked about before we did the thing, you know, and introduced the dinner was talking. We didn't get a chance because it's kind of hard and people are like hungry, right? They're not interested in speeches. But one of the interesting things is to, and I'd love to do this on the show actually, a call for stories, your favorite restaurant moment.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was even not a, a happy moment, may have been something else. But, you know, just to kind of report on that. And we ought to start with our restaurant moments. If you had like a moment that created in your mind. I mean, we're into stories now, you know. And I'd have to call my moment. I will tell you this. I have to call my moment the pink panty moment.
Wow.
What did you do at a restaurant?
Pink panty moment.
Mm-hmm. What happened?
I went to Boone Tavern when Bernie and I were very young.
Of all the places.
And we were having a very nice little evening dinner, and I had a white see-through dress on, right? And I go, and I'm as innocent as a newborn babe. So I go to the bathroom like halfway into the dinner, and I kind of looked up at the full-length mirror, and you could see those panties. Bright pink panties. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. You know, Bernie, come in here and help me, you know, walk behind
me. It's too late now.
Yeah, I know, but it was so embarrassing to have on those pink panties.
I am a, I had a similar experience.
That's my moment.
I was not wearing pink panties.
Okay, I wanna, let's make this clear.
No, yeah, but I had my pants fall down in a restaurant.
No kidding.
I was in an In-N-Out Burger, actually. In Los Angeles.
In and out, up and down.
Yeah, exactly. And I was carrying the tray of food, and they just went down. And there was nothing I could do. And because I got the food in my hand, and I got, and my girlfriend at the time had to help me pick up my pants. It would have been smarter for me to hand her the food. But she got down and picked up the pants.
That is a great moment.
Yeah, that was not.
You want fries with that?
I made a lot of tips that night, though.
How entertaining. Jeremy, do you have any moments?
Well, there was that time I came out of the walk-in and I had a police officer there with a gun pointed at my chest.
What?
What?
I was coming out as we had actually, they had tracked down a criminal to the restaurant. They had been using credit card fraud, and they were at two hotels, and they pinpointed it, and they were looking for him, and he came in the restaurant, sat down, didn't order anything, was hiding behind the menu, and two undercover agents and an officer came in the front door, identified him. The guy jumps out of his table, and if you've been to where there's an open kitchen with, like, a bar counter, right? The guy jumps over, like, a 5.5-foot counter and goes to the kitchen and runs out the back door. And at the time, so the cops are in pursuit, right? And one's got one of those laser pointer, you know, guns. They're running through the kitchen, and right when they come in the kitchen door, I'll come out of the walk-in. And
not knowing any of this is going on.
Gee whiz. I think that might be the winner.
I think that's it.
Oh, I've got more.
That's better than the pink panties.
I don't think anything's better than pink panties.
Pink panties.
Have you ever done the math on how many people have been engaged or got engaged or proposed at the restaurant?
We have a lot of that.
Gosh, it's been a lot. You know, I think one thing I like to do, I really like to get involved in that stuff because you can really make an event special for people. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get to have them for life because they have that special memory at your restaurant. So a few of the ones I like is we'll bake a fortune cookie that actually has the message inside.
Yeah, you did that just the other night, I think.
Yeah, that's fun. So, you know, the lady cracks it open, will you marry me? And it's in the little fortune cookie, and then the ring presentation.
Really cool.
It's fun.
And you have to give someone notice, I imagine. You don't want to just go in that night.
Well, no.
I
need to know, I mean, give me notice or give...
No, give you notice.
Yeah, I'm not just going to bake a fortune cookie, like, all a minute.
Do they do that thing where they ask you, like, here's the ring, go put it in, like, a dessert?
Yeah, wasn't it in something the other night?
I'd be afraid of, like, losing it.
Yeah, or crunching into it.
Yeah, I mean, they asked,
but it was
here's
in something
the
other night. I can't remember what we did.
I think this one was just on the fly, you know, the classic champagne glass one.
Okay, it was in the champagne glass.
Yeah, but there's been some creative ones, too.
Has anyone ever said no?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, we had it happen.
What happened?
Everybody just got really uncomfortable, that's all.
No!
Yeah.
Say no? Is it like a hard no, or is it, I'll think about it? What was it?
She said no, and it just, everything got quiet. We didn't know what to do. I mean, I pretty much just So well, I'm going
home
now.
Well, that is bizarre.
Yeah, no, she wasn't having it.
Really? But did they stay and finish the meal?
Yeah, very quietly. Yeah.
Oh, that is too weird.
That's almost worse. Yeah, is it afterward?
That's quite a moment.
Get it to go.
Yeah, you would think.
You wouldn't just stay there and sit in the the emptiness that is that.
Oh, no, they drug it out for a while, too.
Well, how? Oh, gosh.
So, I don't know what to say. Yeah. I guess it just didn't
well,
happen.
You know, I would actually like to hear from people.
Sure.
And tell us your moment. You know, what happened? I've got others, you know.
Yeah, and what you were eating, too.
Go to Food News on Facebook and Twitter and follow us there.
I want to ask Jeremy about Farmer's Market. Mm-hmm. You know, it's now almost the end of June.
Yep.
What's there?
Well, tomatoes are happening now, so that's the big deal, right?
Oh, yes.
So,
where's my tomato pie?
I have got to get around to that one. You know, and I like what Barbara was saying on here the other day about the tomato pie. It's always important to put that layer of cheese down on top of the crust so it doesn't get soggy from the tomatoes.
But
what kind of cheese
them,
do you
right?
use? Do you like shredded cheese? Does it matter?
Well, it's your preference. I like a rich cheese, like a goat cheese.
Okay.
But for most people, I find that just like a shredded mozzarella or a provolone blend works really well. Kind of pizza-ish, really.
Okay.
But it's good. You know, it's nice. Gruyere works wonderfully.
What about other things like green beans? When will green beans and corn and stuff like that come?
Corn's coming in. Green beans, there's a couple producers that have them. Mm-hmm. Nothing substantial yet.
Mm-hmm.
But still plenty of lettuces. The zucchini and squash is strong. Lots of Swiss chard and bok choy out there. Little potatoes. Spring onions are still rocking. You know, everything's tasting great this year.
Can you give me a tip on squash? I'm seeing, you know, zucchini and yellow squash everywhere. And it's actually, I know chefs tend to hate it because then it has a lot of flavor.
Hey, I've read, you've had some tempura.
I love it. It's one of my favorites. What can I do with squash? Because I've been grilling it. I like it charred.
Yeah.
But what's something to do with squash charred. And zucchini?
Well, make a lasagna, but use the squash as a noodle.
You know,
that's a great, you know, kind of way to layer squash and use a lot of it at once and really kind of have something healthy as a side dish. You know, like just tomato sauce and layered squash and cheese and bake it off.
Just remember to layer it, and like what I did was not put the noodles in.
Yeah. When you do that, it almost becomes kind of like a ratatouille, right?
It is, but it's kind of a layered one with cheese, right?
Yeah.
And then ratatouille is always an excellent answer to how to use a lot of squash, tomatoes, and peppers, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that I love to do, I don't know, was it my cheese here, is take, you know, what you do is grill it, right?
Yeah.
And we cut it lengthwise into planks. And if you lightly grill it, then you can roll it up with things.
Okay.
Like, for instance, three cheeses and then serve it with, you know, a nice little sauce. Or even meats like, you know, grilled lamb or ground lamb.
Rolled up
and stuffed is really, really good as well.
That sounds What do you do? How, when you bread it, how do you get the breading to stick to it? I've had it breaded before.
That's the perennial question. Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing with fried chicken.
Yeah.
How do you get it to stick?
Well, there's
you don't allow people to know that, do you?
No, we don't tell people. No, it's so easy. It's called penne. It just sounds like the pasta. It's a process that we call flour, egg wash, and then coating. So you roll them in flour first, then you dip them in eggs and milk,
and then
you put the final coat on it, and then it goes in the oil.
And do you let sit after you bread it, or do you go
maybe to let it sit and set in?
Does that is that a good idea or a bad idea?
I typically depends on the situation, because there's these wonderful recipes too that you'll flour something and then let it sit in milk and then go right into a skillet with it, or even flour and then beaten egg, like a chili relleno. You ever seen a chili relleno? It has that light batter coating on the outside. That's when you flour it, just dip it into whipped eggs and then kind of saute it. But in order to get that crunchy crust, you're talking about flour, egg wash, and then more flour or panko or breadcrumbs or whatever you like.
Okay.
The only good thing about that not sticking to the whatever you're doing, fried chicken or something, is that you get those crumblies at the end.
Yeah.
You know, Long John Silver's? Remember the crumblies?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. The crumblies are wonderful.
So check this out. Make your beer cheese soup, right?
Yeah.
And then make it a little extra thick.
Mm-hmm.
And then make a squash casserole out of that. Like, just, you know, grill off a bunch of squash or saute it with onion, lightly.
Yeah.
And then put in a colander to drain. Put it in the casserole dish, pour the beer cheese all over it, and then more cheese and breadcrumbs on top and bake it. You got like a beer cheese squash casserole.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I will make that tonight.
Yeah, so
okay,
I will make that
tonight.
Two really good recipes with just the show, right?
Wow. Just one more thing I want to bring up it wouldn't be a show if we didn't do hamburger, right?
Oh, come on, don't
we
do
have
it.
A standing rule where
we
ban hamburger talk, except we do it every week.
I have a question. I was reading a recipe for the perfect burger. Two things. Mm-hmm. One, put an ice cube in the middle and fold the meat over it and let it sit for 5 minutes after you cook it.
Sure.
Is that true with ice cube in the middle?
Have you
heard of this?
Yeah, sure. What you're doing is preventing the inside from cooking too much or overcooking.
Well,
or
a good
it also
idea.
Creates moisture. But if you're going to do that, then at least go as far as to freeze some bouillon or something more flavorful than water.
Oh, yeah.
Really just watering it down.
Gotcha.
But see, you would hate that because you like yours well done, right?
Yeah, me and Donald Trump.
So you would not want to do that. Yeah, because you want yours well done. That'll prevent it from getting
well
done.
He orders a well-done hamburger at the 21 Club. It's called the 21 Burger.
Oh.
And it is well done with American cheese for $36.
That sounds like
Now, that's
like
New York
such
City,
a waste.
Right? I mean, those are prices.
Stomp on the ground and stomp on it.
Yeah. Right. What was the other thing for a perfect burger? There was one, you said...
Five minutes. Let it sit for 5 minutes and let the juices permeate throughout the burger.
Resting, yeah.
Yeah. Or
I
ask
think
Jeremy
that's a really
like
good
you.
One because, man, I mean, if you get a... we got to stop talking about burgers.
Because once we start, we don't stop.
I'm not continuing.
Come on. I know you want to say something about burgers.
Yeah, go ahead.
We got to take a break in a second, but I know you want to add something to the burger
Come
conversation.
On, Jeremy. Do it.
The vinegar thing works. A little bit of the tablespoon of vinegar in your meat mix.
Really?
It does retain moisture. Yeah.
Really? You said that tip was given so begrudgingly.
I know.
You didn't want...
Just because he didn't want to talk burgers.
You don't want to talk burgers.
What is wrong
But that's
with
a
you?
Great tip. A tablespoon of vinegar in the meat.
Maybe better than an ice cube.
Really?
Yeah. Might be better than an ice cube.
I'll try. I've never tried that.
Do
does
it
matter? Does the type of vinegar matter?
No. Just don't use too much.
Okay. See? We got it out of him.
There. Okay. I feel relieved.
All right. Don't go anywhere. It's Food News and Choose Radio.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia Lovely here for Azure Restaurant and Patio. Hey, Chef. It's summertime. What's new at Azure?
Lexington loves patio season, and Azure is one of the best in the region. From the Bluegrass Farmers Market that sets up on the patio Thursday night and Saturday mornings to our wood-fired pizzas offered Wednesday through Saturday night.
Your food is superb, but besides that, what sets Azure apart?
Well, what we like is the unique neighborhood feel of Azure. Our dining room offers a formality that is appropriate for any fine occasion, or the patio offers a relaxed, casual atmosphere where service is approachable and professional. You know, it's not uncommon to have a black tie meeting going on in the dining room during our $5 burger night on the patio, if that gives you a frame of reference.
And join us for Sunday suppers featuring bourbon fried chicken and bluegrass farmers market for fresh vegetables. Two people for $25.
Check us out at azurerestaurant.com or give us a call at 859-296-1007 for reservations.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia here for Brasabana. Hey, Chef, what's new for summer at Brasa?
Gosh, we love the core Cuban dishes that Brasabana offers, like our slow-braised fork tender Cuban beef ropa vieja with rice and Cuban black beans, or our signature pork Havana Nueva that's slow-cooked with lots of garlic and citrus, and all the other favorites like Cuban sandwiches with their roasted pork and ham and Swiss cheese and pickle, all on pressed Cuban bread. And don't forget the papa rellenas with a crispy potato ball that's stuffed with ground beef and spices.
And don't forget patio season, too, at Brasa.
Lots of neat things on the patio. Well, our $5 Cuban sandwiches and mojitos on Monday night, that's a no-brainer, like the best deal in town. But we also have Wednesday night all-you-can-eat paella, which is our version of the Spanish saffron rice dish with chorizo sausage, mojo-seared chicken, mussels, shrimp, sweet peas, and peppers. It's not to be missed. So the weekend brunches also are amazing. It's like they have all the core brunch dishes, but with a Cuban flair.
Oh.
And enjoy all these on the patio when weather permits.
Sounds great to me. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen, just off Harrisburg Road, brasabana.com, 303-5573.
When you're transferring to a new college, some of your old credits make the cut. And some don't. Get the credits you deserve with Sullivan University's free credit transfer review. The Sullivan team works with you to avoid unpleasant surprises and to help you make the most of credits from other schools. It's just one more reason to choose Sullivan University. See them all at sullivan.edu. When you're transferring to a new college, some of your old credits make the cut. And some don't. Get the credits you deserve with Sullivan University's free credit transfer review. The Sullivan team works with you to avoid unpleasant surprises and to help you make the most of credits from other schools. It's just one more reason to choose Sullivan University. See them all at sullivan.edu.
Today on Kentucky Ale Radio, how to tell if Kentucky Ale is right for you.
If you've ever spoken openly of your love for cornhole, this is your beer. If you've ever had to correct someone looking for Louisville, this is your beer. If you know more than one person with more than one first name, this is your beer. If you know what's in Burgoo, this is your beer. If you know that saying, bless your heart, is a polite way of feeling sorry for someone, this is your beer. And if you've never had a Kentucky Ale, well, bless your heart.
Your state, your beer. For the real taste of a real Kentucky beer, make it a Kentucky Ale, the original craft brew of the bluegrass.
Kentucky Ale. Lexington Brewing Company in Lexington, KY. Real Kentuckians drink responsibly.
Food News and Choose here for Brasabana Restaurant, featuring Cuban cuisine with a Caribbean flair. Chef Miguel Rivas, hailing from the Dominican Republic, will provide you with an exceptional and unique cuisine. Come try plantain chips to start, followed by a Brasabana signature dish, the award-winning Cuban sandwich, yummy. And don't forget Brasabucks, $1 for every $10 you spend, and double Brasabucks on Mondays. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen or at Brasabana.com or Facebook for updates and information.
This is Food News and Chews for Azura Restaurant and Patio, and I'm about to make you very hungry. To make one of Azura's signature dishes, we take fresh cold water lobster and mix it with lots of squeezed lemon juice, triple cream cheese, and a pile of fresh sliced scallions. We cook this mixture delicately in a light, fluffy crepe shell until slightly golden brown on the outside, but still soft, delicate, and warm on the inside. We finish the dish with a sweet and tangy tropical guava sauce made from the ripest South American fruit. Guava has hints of apple, strawberry, and pear flavors. Imagine tasting that combination. I apologize if I made you hungry, but you have to try this award-winning dish. Stop by Azura Restaurant and Patio in the Beaumont Center, and I'll make it up to you with some of the freshest flavors you've ever experienced. While we definitely have worldly inspired cuisine, I guarantee you there's nothing like the local flavors of Kentucky-raised products, which are the guiding light of Azura's menu. Azura Restaurant and Patio is located at 3070 Lakecrest Circle in Beaumont Center off of Harrodsburg Road. Check out www.azurarestaurant.com for special events like our Saturday Bluegrass Farmers Market or our Sunday Suppers. Open 6 days a week for lunch and every day for dinner.
It's summer in the bluegrass. Edible Magazine has all the information you need to celebrate like a locavore. Marion Nessel, NYU professor and nationally acclaimed author of Food Politics, takes a look at the local food movement 15 years later. Edible gives you the scoop on local ice cream and summer events and destinations for the whole family. Are you still learning where to find the farmers markets? We have the info and the maps. Be sure to check out the Seed to Feed dinner series in Georgetown, Kentucky. Pick up Edible Louisville and the Bluegrass today at the new Whole Foods at the Summit or any of our other distribution retailers.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia Lovely here for Azura Restaurant and Patio. Hey, Chef, it's summertime. What's new at Azura?
Lexington loves patio season, and Azura is one of the best in the region. From the Bluegrass Farmers Market that sets up on the patio Thursday night and Saturday mornings to our wood-fired pizzas offered Wednesday through Saturday night.
Your food is superb, but besides that, what sets Azura apart?
Well, what we like is the unique neighborhood feel of Azura. Our dining room offers a formality that is appropriate for any fine occasion, or the patio offers a relaxed, casual atmosphere where service is approachable and professional. You know, it's not uncommon to have a black tie meeting going on in the dining room during our $5 burger night on the patio, if that gives you a frame of reference.
And join us for Sunday suppers featuring bourbon fried chicken and bluegrass farmers market for fresh vegetables. Two people for $25.
Check us out at AzuraRestaurant.com or give us a call at 859-296-1007 for reservations.
Chef Jeremy and Sylvia here for Brasabana. Hey, Chef, what's new for summer at Brasa?
Gosh, we love the core Cuban dishes that Brasabana offers, like our slow-braised fork tender Cuban beef ropa vieja with rice and Cuban black beans, or our signature pork Havana Nueva that's slow-cooked with lots of garlic and citrus, and all the other favorites like Cuban sandwiches with their roasted pork and ham and Swiss cheese and pickle, all on pressed Cuban bread. And don't forget the papa rellenas with a crispy potato ball that's stuffed with ground beef and spices.
And don't forget patio season, too, at Brasa.
Lots of neat things on the patio. Well, our $5 Cuban sandwiches and mojitos on Monday night, that's a no-brainer, like the best deal in town. But we also have Wednesday night all-you-can-eat paella, which is our version of the Spanish saffron rice dish with chorizo sausage, mojo-seared chicken, mussels, shrimp, sweet peas, and peppers. It's not to be missed. So the weekend brunches also are amazing. It's like they have all the core brunch dishes, but with a Cuban flair.
Oh.
And enjoy all these on the patio when weather permits.
Sounds great to me. Come see us at 841 Lane Allen, just off Harrisburg Road, Brasabana.com, 303-5573.